This is Everything is Workable, a series of podcasts and blog posts that examine how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. My name is Caitlin Hatch, and I'm a creative polymath, which is a nice short way of saying I'm a designer, artist, animator, and published author. My purpose in life is to inspire curiosity, to inspire people to let go of the limited ideas that they have about themselves and their experience. Through the posts and podcasts of Everything is Workable, I hope to share some insight into what this means and give you some ideas of how to make your world so much bigger. I'll have various different guests to share their stories, as well as sharing my own, all with the aim of seeing everything as workable, even the most uncomfortable situations. Here's a big question for you. What would life be like if we accepted people just the way they are? Give you a moment to think about that. Really think about it. What would life be like if we accepted people just the way they are? Okay? How about this one? What would life be like if other people accepted you just the way you are? Or better yet, what would life be like if you accepted yourself just the way you are? I'm going to address all three of these questions in this episode of Everything is Workable. I'm going to look at the very healthy practice of letting go of our expectations. Before I start, though, I'm going to put a disclaimer out there. I am not saying expectations are bad. Not at all. Expectations, when they're healthy, can be very beneficial. For example, I have an expectation of myself to maintain proper hygiene, and it is an expectation that I generally have for a lot of people around me, like everyone around me. There's nothing wrong with expecting ourselves and others to wash regularly. It's also perfectly reasonable to expect people to stop at a red light, for example. If they didn't, it would cause chaos and possibly even kill someone. So that's a reasonable expectation to have. Although that one could be argued as being very culturally specific. I normally would have that expectation that, say, someone should stay within the lines on a main highway. But when I went to Thailand, for example, it was obvious that the lines were merely suggestions. However, it was also obvious that the expectation there was that other drivers would also simply drift across the lanes without signaling at highway speeds. So the collective expectation didn't cause havoc and chaos because it was shared. I also have personal expectations. I expect a certain amount of commitment to working with my own mind from myself. I expect myself to commit to my daily meditation practice and working with my mind in difficult situations. I know myself well enough to know when I should know better, and I maintain healthy expectations around that knowledge. In short, I expect myself to grow and develop and change. When I talk about expectations in the context of accepting people as they are, I'm talking about letting go of the fixed ideas we might have about how people should or shouldn't act, or how we should or shouldn't act. I'm talking about unreasonable expectations we have that people should be different than they are, or that they should be perfect, or that we should be perfect, or flawless somehow, like that we should be better. So let's expand on that by revisiting the first question that I asked. What would life be like if we accepted people just the way they are? I'm going to address this one by sharing a story because I feel stories are a really helpful way to get across just what I'm pointing at sometimes because it can be a bit ineffable. Bear with me though because it's going to seem a little bit off piece at first because I'm going to start by telling you about my past relationship to some Buddhist teachings, specifically to Buddhist teachings about aggression. As you have probably deduced, I listen to a lot of podcasts, recorded talks, and teachings on Buddhism. I also read a lot of books on the subject, every day. For those of you not familiar with Buddhist terminology, Buddhist teachings are referred to as Dharma. Aggression is a common theme in Dharma. It's like things like how to work with your aggression or how to tame your aggression. I'm a pretty chilled out person, even without all the meditating. My brother excluded, and that was when I was very, very young, like before I could remember. I was not the sort of child who hit or kicked or bit people. My mom is probably responsible for this, as I did once bite my brother really, really badly. Again, I was like 3 and I don't recall this at all, and her response was to bite me back. So I'm going to say that it worked, because I don't like the idea of hurting anyone. Like, even the thought of it makes me feel sick, even in play fighting, because I don't like being hurt, and I have never gotten any conscious pleasure or anything, even from giving like a Charlie horse or something. I don't do revenge hitting when someone hits me back. Well, like, hits me, I don't hit back. I generally go for passive resistance almost all the time. And I also don't like being angry at people, so generally I'm not angry at people. I mostly go towards anxiety or a fear response if conflict comes up. So I didn't really think of myself as having a lot of aggression to work with. And those teachings on aggression and how best to work with it and so on, they'd come on and I'd sort of zone out. I'd like skim read chapters about it. Like, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with me. One day I thought, what if I replace the word aggression with something that I do have some problems with, I sort of struggle with. So, okay, anxiety. I'll listen to all the teachings on aggression, but instead I'll replace the word aggression with anxiety and see what happens. And it didn't take me very long to realize just how wrong I was about not being aggressive. Not because of choosing anxiety as the word, but because I started really listening to the teachings and suddenly realized that aggression isn't about being angry at all. It's about resisting. It's about being resistant to what is. I realized that anytime I resisted my experience, that was an act of aggression. When I resisted what was going on, that was aggression. When I resisted the behavior of others, when I felt let down by them, disappointed by them, that was aggression. It may sound simple, but for me, it was a total epiphany for that moment. It was just like, whoa, disappointment is an act of aggression. When we are disappointed in ourselves or others, that's us expecting too much or expecting things or people or situations to be different than they are or were. It's resisting what is. It's also letting the actions of others influence our own emotional state. Letting other people's choices affect how we feel. That is the choice we are making when we expect people to be different than they are. When we make statements like, I hate when people drink in public, or it really irritates me when people litter. Fine, public drunkenness can be obnoxious and littering is a thoughtless and careless thing to do, but that's hate and irritation that we are choosing to carry around because we expect that people should act or behave differently, or that they will act or behave differently. But people aren't like that. By letting go of the expectation we have that other people should identify in a certain way or behave in a certain way or have a certain belief, whatever it is, if we let go of that, we're contributing to a happier society overall. We get to feel better because we're not choosing to let our expectations of how other people should behave fill us up with something so bitter and negative as hate. And they feel better because they get to be who they are without wondering what they did wrong. It's about letting them be fully human, which means they're going to mess up and make mistakes and sometimes be annoying. But again, them being annoying is our experience of them. It's not actually who they are. It's how we perceive what they did. I appreciate that with public drunkenness and littering, it's pretty easy to argue that this is a reasonable expectation to have. And I'm not saying that it's okay for people to do these things. What I'm saying is we could relax a bit when people do these things. And when we do relax, it becomes less a point of righteous indignation and more of being able to see the situation very clearly, free of what we think people should or shouldn't do. An example. I live in London, and the Underground is a beautiful place where all of humanity can be seen every day. Once there was this group of girls on the train heading out to go clubbing for the night. They were all drinking these energy drinks, and once finished, they'd pop the empty tins along the backs of their seats. Anyone who lives in London knows that this is a common thing, and it really irritates a lot of people. I could see people around me doing the very English thing of getting passive-aggressive. There was a couple who were next to me, and they began having the almost loud enough to be heard by the girls sort of conversation about how rude it is when people litter, and they were tutting and stuff and kept glancing meaningfully at the girls and scowling. They were in high spirits, these girls. Like, they're going out. They're like 20-something, maybe 21 at the oldest, and they didn't have a care in the world. The passive-aggressive comments were completely missed. And the train stopped at their stop. All the girls were standing, preparing to go, and I just leaned forward, pointed to the tins, and said, "You forgot to grab your garbage." And the girls looked at me and then at the tins, and there was this moment where they could have said no or done something, but what I'd done was not presume that they were going to leave the tins there. I was really casual. I didn't have, like, any kind of tone of voice. I just, you know, said, "Oh, look, it slipped your mind. There's some litter." And they did. They picked it up. It won't always go that way, but ultimately, I didn't get irritated or annoyed. I just thought they're young and in a good mood and had to have a fun time. They're not thinking about whether or not they're leaving a mess. It's not that big of a deal. So question two. What would life be like if other people accepted us just as we are instead of how they would like us to be? If you think that the expectations of others don't have an effect on you, you're simply not paying attention. In this case, I'm going to throw out a few really big societal examples of how expectations of others affect us, but I'm sure you personally could come up with a lot in your life with just friends and family. As an able-bodied person, I'm aware of the societal bias I have unintentionally, but most assuredly taken on about ability. Socially, we're told to expect that someone with a disability will have a lower quality of life. That's just something that society teaches us, even if it's not really intended that way. We may not put it that way, but by assuming that life is and will be difficult, by assuming that anyone who was born with one arm or Down syndrome can't accomplish as much in their life as someone who wasn't, creates a societal expectation on a huge chunk of the population. The very fact that we say disabled speaks to the limited ideas we have about what someone should or shouldn't be able to do, depending on their mental or physical capacity. Or what about the expectation that Black people, especially Black men, are more violent or likely to commit crimes? You'd have to be living in a bubble not to see that this is a very real problem in the United States right now. Not that it isn't a very real problem in a lot of other countries. There is an expectation that women just aren't as good at math and science as men, or that they should all want to have babies, or that eventually they all will want to have babies. Yes, the expectations we have of that others have of us definitely shape and define our experience and the entire society that we live in. But if those expectations weren't there, how do you think that your life might be different? How do you think the world would be different? This is a kind of fun thing to think about, really, because it's really asking you to look at yourself. We can't change how other people view the world or color it with their expectations, but we can notice it in ourselves and learn to let go of the ones that we hold on to. It's not always easy, of course, because it means, first of all, we have to admit our prejudices, which is really uncomfortable to do. But we can't work with something that we refuse to acknowledge. I do know what it is to be in a minority, and I know that I feel much better when people accept me for who I am, instead of putting a bunch of expectations or ideas they have about me all over anything that I say or do based on a presumption. So I make a point of practicing accepting people as they are without obscurations based on my personal prejudices. Which means I practice noticing my prejudices so that I can truly see the person I'm interacting with, not what I think I should be seeing. And now the final question. What would life be like if you accepted yourself just the way you are? This one is tough. As I said at the start of the program, this isn't about not having expectations entirely. This is about not having unreasonable expectations. Let's look at some ways we expect ourselves to be different than we are. Maybe we think we should be better at cooking, or we wish we hadn't said what we did to our partner in a moment of anger. Or we start looking and doing this work of noticing our prejudices and realize that we're racist, or sexist, or transphobic. Those can be really difficult to accept, because we are so ingrained to view things dualistically, there are certain things we label bad and reject and don't want to be associated with, because if we notice our racism, for example, doesn't that make us a bad person? Well, no. No, it doesn't. I'm white. I have white privilege. I get that. I get that I haven't the foggiest idea what it's like to be judged or treated differently because of the color of my skin. I also realize that despite the best efforts of my parents in my upbringing, I'm going to have some internal beliefs that I don't even realize I've internalized, just by virtue of the society and culture in which I grew up. But to what I said previously about how we can't work with what we do not see, well, I acknowledge these things about myself, my upbringing, the world in which I live, and the influence that has to have. I'm bringing awareness to it, which means I'm a lot less likely to thoughtlessly blurt out something offensive. It also means I have a lot of compassion for other people when they do, because I know how awkward that feels. Or I aspire to have a lot of compassion, because I know they're up against just as much cultural conditioning as me, and they potentially aren't working with their mind in the same way. I said before that I'm in a minority. I'm gay, so I can't relate to being judged instantly based on how I look, but I can relate to being judged for the way I was born, for something that is just as much a part of who I am as the color of my hair or my eyes or my skin. And I know how much it stings when someone gets it so wrong and says something super offensive. And I know also how much it stings to have been that person who got it so wrong. By accepting myself, I become much better at accepting others. So, three proposals. Imagine what life would be like if we accepted others just as they are. Imagine what life would be like if others accepted us just as we are. And imagine what life would be like if we accepted ourselves just as we are. Really, all three would have the same result. We'd be more able to work with our minds. We would be more compassionate. And we would be more flexible. Or at least that's been my experience. But I'm not you. Give it a go. See what happens. Thank you for listening to Everything is Workable, a Funwolf Creations production. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a topic that you'd like me to tackle, or if you'd like to become a contributor, you can get in touch with me through www.vast-skythinking.com by visiting the Everything is Workable blog. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.